Well, our scripture reading this morning is 1 Samuel chapter 17. And you may say, that's a long reading. And it is a long reading, and I think it's a necessary reading to read it as a whole. But I will say this, it brings to mind, Reverend J.G. Duckett always told me that every Sunday morning, make sure you read the entire chapter, because we need to hear God's word. Jesus said, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we come for a feast, and we follow it with a minor feast, but this is the major feast. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochah and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he gathered the greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like the weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me, if he be able to fight with me, and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him, and kill him, then shall ye be our servants, and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among the men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of the 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, the next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shema. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul and to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how the brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying,
What shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistines came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistines said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose, and shouted, and pursued the Philistines, until thou come to the valley, and to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way at Sheram, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he sent unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth. And Abner said, "As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell." And the king said, "Inquire thou whose son the stripling is." And as David returned home, the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, and the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever had that sensation that no matter what the world throws at you, the Lord Jesus is right there with you and in complete control, so that you find yourself fearless in the face of the conflict that comes with the world? You know, one of the amazing stories of the Bibles that of the Bible that reveals both sides of facing the foe, either with a deep sense of dread in fear, or one of complete confidence, is found in 2 Kings chapter 6. The story is found in the verses 16 through 18, where the army of Syria has come to Dothan to kill Elisha, because God kept revealing to Elisha exactly what the Syrian army was going to do, so Israel was always prepared for them. And so they came to Dothan, and they were sent to kill Elisha. And so the morning arises, and the servant of Elisha goes outside to stretch in the morning sunlight and looks around, and there's the Syrian army all around him. And he goes, "Oh, man." And it's just Elisha and the servant. And he's going, "We're dead for sure." And he runs back in to Elijah. He says, "Elijah, Elijah, you're not going to believe this. The Syrian army's out there. They've come to kill us. What are we going to do, Elisha? What are we going to do?" And Elijah walks out with him, and he looks around, and he says that those who are with us are more than those who are with the Syrian army. Now, you could just imagine his servant. "What? It's just you and me." And what does Elisha do? Elijah prays, "Lord, open his eyes." And his eyes are open, and he beholds on the mountains the chariots of the host of heaven coming down, and they surround Elisha. And we know the story. In the end, the Syrian army is defeated. Defeated by God himself. Well, that was then, and this is now. God doesn't work that way anymore. Really? The world defies the church. Black Lives Matter, critical race theory, mandates, masks, vaccines all seek to become the wisdom of the world to replace faith and truth. And the church responds, "Pastor, what will we do?" The world is always the enemy of the church, but the Lord triumphs over his enemy. So we must be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. In the story of a lad named David who was sent to the battle camp with food for his brothers, we find another ultimate showdown between the world and the church. The creature shakes his fist and mocks his creator. But the surprise is that the people of God are quaking. And it takes a young lad to see the battle belongs to the Lord. In that unshakable conviction, he finds the courage not to trust in the weapons of the world, but in the power of God, who rules over all things for the glory of his name. The theme of this story is that David fearlessly confronts the enemies of the Lord and engages fiercely in the battle, knowing it is the Lord who fights for him. There are three aspects to this story, at least to our text. We're going to be looking at the verses primarily 45 through 47. The first thing that is borne out, the three aspects are a challenge, a contest, and a conqueror. And the first thing that is borne out in this story is that David is up against several challenges before he even engages Goliath. The context is crucial here. Each day, Goliath comes before the armies of Israel, and he charges them, he challenges them to send forth their champion to fight him one-on-one for the rights for the victor to serve and rule over the loser. And we all know the story. Goliath was a giant and a mighty warrior who struck fear in the hearts of all the men of Israel from the bottom to the top. Such a challenge should have been met by King Saul as the leader of the nation. And if not the king, then one of the mighty warriors, one of the generals. And if not one of the generals, then one of the experienced and valiant soldiers. But none would go forth. In verse 10, you can hear Goliath mocking, "Is there not a man among you? Are you all so cowardly as that there is not one of you to face me?" Understand that to mock the armies of Israel was to defy the God of Israel, for the armies represented the people of God. This is the world coming boldly out to challenge the church, the people of God called and delivered out of the world by a mighty hand. David hears this challenge, and he's dismayed by the fear in the hearts of the people of God who tremble at the prospect of facing such a mighty foe. But young David does not see the world in the same way as his brethren do. He does not allow what is visible to obscure what is understood by the spiritual eye. The battle belongs to the Lord. Some may think at this point that the lad is an opportunist when he inquires, "What shall be done to this man who kills the Philistine?" And the temptation is to see David as focused on enriching himself. But there is a different perspective in view. It can be perceived in his description of Goliath as that uncircumcised Philistine who brings reproach on the church and defies the armies of the living God. For David, the issue is one of standing up for the honor of God. Interestingly, the idea of David stepping out to face Goliath is met first by the derision of his older brothers. Often the opposition to our serving God and engaging in giving a defense for the faith and the God we hold so dear comes from our own family. "David, why are you even here? You've just come to watch the battle and go back. So you need to go back and take care of those few sheep that you tend. You're insignificant. Don't be a bother. That's all you can handle." And David's response is classic. If you're a younger brother in a family with older brothers, "What did I do now?" Right? "Why is everyone always picking on me?" "No matter what I do, it is never right." King Saul also looks at the young David and he sees a boy. Verse 34 says, "And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth.'" The king also fails to understand what David knows in his heart. The battle belongs to the Lord. David turns from his brother Eliab's words and looks to the other brethren around, and they responded the same way too. his brothers, his family, the church, even the leader, all look at him, and all they see is a young boy incapable of facing the foe. But the king needs to send someone. And this boy is better than his having to face the giant. Let someone else do it is his position, for there is no one who can stand against so great a force. The lesson is that often the challenge seems undaunting, not because the world is so mighty, not because the church is so weak, but it is because we must learn to view this world as belonging to the Lord Almighty, who works all things after the counsel of his own will, and he fights the battles against the world, using his people as the instruments of his warfare. What we must see here is that this contest between David and Goliath, between the church and the world, ultimately is between the powers of this world and the Creator God. A key reason in this story is that God's people do not engage in battle using the weapons of this world. You know, we are called to utilize those weapons designed to confront principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Our weapons are those of a spiritual nature aimed at the heart and the mind of the sinner in rebellion. Goliath is a picture of the world, and his weapons appear mighty and invincible compared to the armies of Saul. The armies of Israel sought to fight this war for land and territory on the world's terms. King Saul agreed to let David face Goliath, but he did not understand the nature of the contest. He takes his armor and he gives it to David to confront Goliath. It is using the wisdom and philosophy of this world to seek to overturn the wisdom and the philosophy of this world. It is using the weak and beggarly things of the world when we have a much greater weapon at our disposal. And David understood this. It is not David versus Goliath in a contest of who is stronger. It is Goliath coming up against the Lord whom he has defied, fighting through David. David trusts in God to give him the strength because it is the Lord's battle. To depend on our strength or our experience is a failure of our faith. Our comfort is in the fact that we are promised that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You who belong to Christ are one with him, are united to him, and as such are bestowed with the very power of our Savior. And those engagements you have, those opportunities where you speak the gospel, where you spend your time in defense of your faith, are situations where we demonstrate our faith in God. You who belong to Christ are called to see yourselves as those through whom God works through as instruments of grace, through which the Lord saves the sinner. But in your contests with the world, you must always remember it is the Lord's battle. Some see David's weapons here as a slingshot and a few smooth stones. And they would say it shows how God can defeat greater weapons with lesser weapons. Did David trust in his ability to use a sling and a stone? What was the weapon that made David unwavering in his ferocity? Was it not the word of God and faith? Consider his approach to Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. David fights in God's name. He declared, it is the power of God and not my strength that you compete against this day. David understood the true nature of the contest. Goliath's challenge was against the glory and power and honor of the Lord of hosts. When you come against challenges in your daily life, when the world would seek to deny God and his word and question your faith, be conscious of the nature of the contest. It is spiritual. It is the wisdom of this world against the eternal truth of God's word. We fight with the law of the Lord that is perfect, converting the soul. Our chief weapon is not our ability to reason, but it is the word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12 says just that, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's weapon attacks not the body, but the soul. It is not meant to kill, but to bring life where death reigns. And so we note, thirdly, the final aspect of this story, which is who the true conqueror is. This story is often told from the perspective that David is the hero who killed Goliath. And he was on a human level. But it was David's recognition in faith that the battle belonged to the Lord that stirred him in great fierceness to defend the glory and honor of his God. David was unwilling to see the world defy the true and living God, his God. But you must also see that in David was the fierceness of the believer who fights in the full confidence that is in the strength and power of Christ as the one who wins the battle. The moment you begin to think that you are capable, in and of yourself, to fight the battle, you put the wrong armor on and you lose. We must have before us the truth found in 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 29, which says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." We must fight fiercely, but humbly. God used David in this encounter to demonstrate three things. First, to the unbelieving world, the goal was, according to verse 46, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The life of the Christian is one in which we seek to bear witness to the truth of our eternal God, who is Lord over all the earth. Everyone is accountable to God. And as a Christian, you are called to bear witness to the light who is Christ, calling the sinner from their rebellion to repentance and faith in the only Savior, Jesus. Second, this encounter was a lesson to the church. In verse 47, David rebukes the armies of Israel and her king for their fear. It says, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." God used David as an example to the people of God that the battle we engage in is the Lord's. We, when we engage in taking the word of salvation to our neighbor out of love for our neighbor, we do so in complete confidence in and dependence upon Jesus, who is the one who saves. He is the conqueror here. He is the one who has overcome sin and death for us. In verse 47, we see that we are not to use weapons of earthly origin, but employ better weapons that target the soul of the unbeliever. The Lord has ordained the use of his word. And you and me who make up the church to be his witness in the world through that word. That is the witness of the resurrection power that raised you to new life by the working of the Holy Spirit. It is the power of God in you that moves you to engage in the battle with the same ferocity as David. We fight with the weapons God gives us to do spiritual battle. And the chief weapon of the Christian, the sword of the Lord, is the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are at a point in our history where we are finding a deficiency in ministers. We laid to rest too. We have many that are reaching retirement, but we have few young men. We need to understand God raises up. I remember Reverend Duckett one time telling me that God calls home a faithful servant after X amount of years of faithfully preaching the gospel, and as he calls one home, he raises another up to take his place. And so we pray for God to continue to raise up young men. The importance of our institutions to train men for the ministry is crucial. We have many opportunities, but we have not men to send. And so pray to the Lord to send us Davids who are willing to go out and conquer the world for the honor of God. Our text ends on this note, and God will give the enemy into our hands. Beloved in Christ, fear not the world, nor the weapons of the world, for Jesus has come and he has conquered all for us. And we are more than conquerors through Jesus who loves us. Amen.